to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to be back. I missed every one of you. And I'll have to apologize up front. I have a rather short sermon prepared. I've been itching to show you the surprise that I've been working on for a few months. And no, this isn't the time when I'm going to show it, not during the sermon. I have to wait till the service is over. I just want to get there. Or I could keep you in suspense for a while. I don't want to keep myself in suspense. So I just want you to be laser focused for the next 10 minutes on the gospel story today, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 verse 51 is an important verse in Luke's gospel. Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem. He begins his journey to Jerusalem here in Luke 9, and he doesn't get to Jerusalem until Luke chapter 19. So you see, a majority of Luke's gospel is a journey of Jesus heading to Jerusalem. It's the greatest journey that this world has ever seen. What a journey it ends up being. And on his way, Jesus meets several people on the road, and he says to one, "Follow me," which immediately raises two questions in my mind as I read this story. One is, who am I following? And two, where is Jesus going? You know, the people on the road, they don't know where he's heading. And Jesus just says to follow me. So I ask you, who do you follow? And I'm not asking you which sports teams you follow, which politician you follow, which stock ticker on the Dow you follow, what dietary or exercise plan you follow, not who you follow on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Who do you follow with your life? Your entire being. Everything that you are, who do you follow? In other words, who's in control over you? Who's leading you? Now, for being honest, no one, right? No one has control over me. That's kind of our default mode. We don't like to follow anyone. We are so curved in on ourselves that we only trust ourselves. We don't trust anyone else to lead us. Someone to have control over me means I have to simply trust. And we know that that's part of our brokenness, part of the fall, part of our sinful flesh that wages against the Spirit of God. You're all Christian. You are all followers of Jesus. You know the right answer to my question. Who do I follow? Jesus. I'm not trying to trick you. So the devil tempts you in a different way. You're not immune to the devil's temptations. He just wants to get you to follow the wrong Jesus. We live in America. It's a celebrity culture. We crave the wow factor. We crave a Jesus who works in mighty and marvelous ways, through ways like earthquakes and fires and strong winds. We love a Jesus that does great things. We love a celebrity Jesus, one who just with his grin can get crowds following him. A Jesus that people look up to us when we follow and say, yeah, we follow him. They respect you. We're tempted to crave a Jesus that's hip and cool and makes us relevant. We follow Jesus because everyone else does. We follow Jesus because my parents would be disappointed in me if I didn't. That's all a lie. Temptation from the enemy, because look at where Jesus goes. To a lonely, chilly, deadly cross on a hill that no one cares about, in a way people are embarrassed even to look at. Some celebrity he ends up being. Would you follow Jesus if he was a loner? Would you still follow him if all the crowds left and it was the whole world against you? Would you follow him even if your own parents and those close to you deserted him? Would you still follow him if people disrespected you because you did? Persecuted you and ridiculed you and mocked you for your faith? Would you still follow him if you were thrown into prison for being a believer? Would you still follow him if you were led to the gallows just like he was? Would you still follow him then? Or would you still follow him even if the mighty acts of God, earthquakes and fires and strong winds, never come to you? You never get that emotional experience or a wonderful working of God. You never see it, and all you end up getting is these soft, gentle whispers again and again through the mouth of a foolish, young, sinful of a man of a pastor, through torn and tattered pages of your Bible, through regular means like bread and wine and water. Would you still follow him? Don't follow Jesus because of the limelight. Don't follow him because everyone else does. Don't follow him because he benefits you socially or with your family. Don't follow him just because it gives you fame and fortune. Follow him because where he goes, to a cross to atone for your sins. And there you find a love that never grows cold, a forgiveness that never tires to forgive, an embrace that never lets up, a comfort that never leaves, a presence that never forsakes. At him, at his cross, you find God laying down his life for you because he loves you. So follow him. Follow him because he is reliable and almighty. Follow him because he knows the journey. You don't. He knows where he's taking you, and he will take you again and again to his cross and his resurrection from the grave every day, again and again and again, so much so that it becomes a slow, soft whisper. But that's where the Lord speaks. That is where our God is, where you find him, in Jesus and in his word and in his sacraments. So as you follow him, I have a few traveling tips on your journey. This is travel to California and back. I'm an expert on traveling now. Don't bail, don't backseat drive, and don't bring your luggage. Don't bail on Jesus. The Samaritans, when he entered the village, they bailed on him. They didn't want to receive his word. The devil tempts you the same way. Don't bail. Remain with Jesus. And don't be a backseat driver either. The disciples of Jesus, they think they know better than him. Lord, do you want us to rain down fire upon this village from heaven? And Jesus rebukes them. No! The devil tempts you the same way. Lord, I want to go over this way. I want to do this thing. Where are you taking us? That's not right. Don't be a backseat driver. He knows the way. And his way is better. He knows his plan. He knows the journey. And don't bring your luggage. See, everyone that Jesus meets on this journey, they come up to him and they say, well, let me first do a few things. I'll follow you, but under these conditions. Don't bring your conditions. Don't bring your luggage. Let go. He wants unflinching devotion to him. He wants all of you. Because of where he's going. He wants you to be there. So that your sins would be atoned for. The 21st century image I have in my head of this story is Jesus is driving a car, a Prius, or an electric car, you know, a new one. He's driving in a dark tunnel, and the headlights don't even work on our car. It's completely dark, and we're in stretchers in the back seat, completely helpless and hopeless, unable to do anything on our own. And he's taking us, and the only light is this small light emanating from Jesus himself behind the wheel. And that's all we need. That's all we need to know where we're going. Because whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And in his light, you have life. Everlasting life. An abundant life, abundant in forgiveness and mercy and grace, abundant in love. And he's taking you on a journey. Up to this point. And what a journey it is. And what a journey it will be when he comes again. It will be the greatest journey that you've ever seen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.